me in it for the Facebook Live people. If you're joining us live, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to tell you that I'm a very non-scripted person. I'm very unpolitically correct. And so that is what it is, and that doesn't change. We're not going to sugarcoat it, and I'm not going to change the way I minister. Whether we're on Facebook Live or not, it is what it is. And I'm happy to be in God's house this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. There are very few things that we can give God, but your praise is one of them. Your praise is one of them. And I want to tell you that the Word of God says if you won't praise Him, the rocks, He'll tell them to cry out and to praise Him. When you're in the valley, what God wants is He wants you to get on your knees and He wants you to begin to get into His presence. See, a lot of people, they're struggling in here today. I see sad faces. I see faces that are weary. I see faces that they're numb. And I want to tell you right now, if you'll begin to praise the living God, that stuff is going to begin to fall off of you. Why? Because, see, there's power in the blood of Jesus. The only thing that will set us free is truth. And so I'm going to ask you right now to get into the presence of God. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you right now for every single person, God, that's in your house. Lord, every single person, God, that's suffering right now in addiction, God, I ask right now that every chain be broken, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, for every person struggling with depression right now, God, I ask right now, God, that that begin to fall off of your children in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for wholeness, for joy, for peace. God, I thank you right now. Lord, I tell you to have your way in this place. Have your way, God. Lord, where conviction needs to fall, God, I ask that you would pierce the hearts of your children right now. God, in the places where you want a restoration, God, I ask right now for restoration, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, every broken heart in this place, God, I ask that you begin to mend it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am so happy to be here. I thank God for everything that He's doing. God is always on the move. He's always working. And as I stepped in this place today, God spoke something to me, and I want to repeat it because it's worth repeating, and it's this right here. Stop looking at what you don't have and look around you a second time and begin to realize what God has done. Stop looking at what you don't have. Stop looking at that because, see, look here. God's going to turn it around, and He's going to make it for your good. But you've got to stop looking at that. Stop looking at it. Don't focus on what you don't have. You need to focus on what God's already done. Focus on what He's already done, because I want to tell you something. He's not finished. He's not finished. And so I want to start this service off with a bang. I love to give, and I love to give to y'all. Y'all are our family. We love you so much, each and every single one of you. And so I am happy we have got lots of giveaways. And I realize that, you know, every holiday that goes by, some holidays are very difficult for people for different reasons. And so we're sensitive to that. So I want to bring some joy. Amen. And so let's bring a little joy and happiness. Brian Heiss, come on up here, sweetheart. So we're going to gradually give away things. That right there came for Sorella Confections. And if you haven't tried that, it's a wonderful business. One of our ladies in here, we bought those, and we want to give those out. There's them gift cards and all of those things. And so I want to make today as happy as we can possibly make it for you. I do want to say one more thing. There will be no service here tonight. So no service. Let's repeat it. No service. No service. We're doing that because your safety is the most important thing. Amen. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34. We're going to start at verse 1. And I want to tell you this morning that God's good. God is good. He is so good to us. And so many people misrepresent the Lord. And we don't want to do that here, because at the end of the day, God is not mad at you. God is not looking for a reason to punish you. God is not looking for a reason to be mean to you and to abandon you. God is looking for every chance to be good to you. He's looking for every place in your life where you can't, and he's going to make it to where you can. And so I want to speak this morning on the goodness of God. If there was a consistent thing on my heart this week, it was just the absolute goodness of who God is. God is so, so good. And if we can start representing Christ, who he really is, people actually get saved. Amen? God's not mad at you because you made a mistake. God's not mad at you because you made a wrong turn. And he's not intimidated by your mistakes. He knows exactly how to right every mistake that we've done. And so here it says, the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. And be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain. And I want to tell you today, God is a very specific God. What you see in these verses is detail. He's saying, I want you to come in the morning. Make sure you don't even let the cows eat on this part. See, we get so hung up by the details, and we get intimidated by them. But what I want you to know today is that God is a God of detail. He won't leave a detail out. He won't leave the smallest piece that we think means nothing. He won't even leave that out. I want to tell you that God is a God of detail. And so Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones, and he went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name. And what I want to tell you right here today is, look, if you're in a place, we serve a God that he'll come and he'll stand right by you. If you come in here with a heavy heart this morning, what I want you to leave here knowing is that he's right there. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Mama Brenda, he doesn't have it in him. He's all good. When people have lied to you, when they've broken your heart, when this world has broken your heart, what I want to tell you is that Daddy God is right there. He's standing right there with you. When you're troubled, when you've heard something about yourself that you don't want to hear, when you've gotten a bad report from the doctor, when your family is in an upheaval, when your marriage is going wrong, when everything is down and it looks like you're going down, look here. Daddy, God won't let that happen. Yeah,
amen.
Thank you, God.
You know what, Miss Dale? The most important part about my job is that I make sure that the way that I put Jesus out there is accurate. God is not that God that's mean to his children. Will God correct us? Yes, he will. But God's looking to love on you. He's looking to show you just how good that he is. He's looking to show you what kind of a life that you can have. And so God came right down there and he stood with Moses. And he began to proclaim things about himself. See, if God's going to proclaim things about himself, we better be proclaiming some things about the Lord as well. And so it says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. You serve a God of compassion. He's compassionate about what's going on in your life. He's interested about what is going on with you. And he loves you so much. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. See, God not only loves you, but he maintains that love. You ever been around somebody and they loved you for a moment, but the first time you slipped up, they done. I've been done that way and I've done others that way. I'm not proud of it, but this is church and I'm not going to be a liar. I've done that. It's not right. He not only loves us, but he maintains that love. He maintains it. If there's an area where I could say Christians are missing it, it's the fact that they want to drive through Jesus. There ain't one. You got that, didn't you, brother? I'm going to put that in terms we all understand. Man, when I go to McDonald's, I start having anxiety about just the thought about maybe having to wait. I don't like to wait. I get to that first stoplight, and I'm like sweating, and I'm a sweater. I'm like, God, please don't let me have to wait. I don't like waiting. Well, I'm learning how to wait. Because you know what? I've done some real dumb things just out of not waiting. Yesterday, me and my Valentine, we went to the steakhouse. We try to go there as much as we can, whether we need it or not. And we went there, and they were like, it's going to be 2 hours. I'm like, Jeremy, if this don't hurry up, we're going to go to Chick-fil-A. Because they got lines, but they know how to get that thing moving. Chick-fil-A's got it going on. You know why they got it going on? Because they're believers. They closed today to honor God. Amen. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited some more. And I didn't get out of line hardly. Just a smidge. I called them a couple times. I said, I've been sitting out here for an hour and a half, and I want to know what's going on up in there. And when am I going to get to eat that steak? And she goes, this is no joke. Well, ma'am, we log down when everybody calls, and you've been out there 1 hour and 26 minutes. I said, God, I'm trying to turn a page here, but they're trying to split hairs over 4 minutes. Look here, when I say an hour and a half, by the time me and you get done with this conversation, honey, it's been an hour and a half. Quit splitting hairs over that 4 minutes. We got up in there, and you know what I could see? The Lord. Jesus was up in that steakhouse. From the little hostess lady to the waiter to the whole thing. There's a blessing in the wait. Many people don't have the guts enough or the patience enough to just wait for what God's trying to do in your life. Get yourself some grit. Hold out. Hold out for what God wants to do. And when your life is messed up, look around. Because I want to tell you something. You probably missed it. I would be a bad pastor if I just stroked you and said you're never capable of missing it. We all miss it. We all sin. We all sin. Look here. I'm probably going to sin today at some point. I'll probably be mean to Jeremy. I'll probably kick the dog or something. I mean, no, not my bad. That's my girl. She had steak too. Jeremy goes, you treat that dog better than you treat me. Look here. Lulu is my girl. She eats with the family. She eats what the family eats. Tierney. That is my baby. But I want to tell you something. God is looking in your life, and he wants to be good to you. Amen. Stop looking at your life and thinking I messed up, and so every problem I have now is because I messed up. It's not. Move on. Move on from the mess up. Move on from the mistake. God's there to help you move on. God is so good. 6 months before the pandemic, God showed me preaching outside. I said, God, I'm not preaching outside. I don't even like to be outside. I'm not doing it. Preached outside for 3 months, loved it, was sad to come back in. God showed me feeding people and making meals in my home. I said, I'm not a very good cook. I mean, I don't know what you're trying to do here, God, but it's off. Look here. One of my best things in my week is when I get to pack up. I have the privilege of serving. Everybody say serving. Serving. Yes, serving. Save people, serve. Packing up them little dinners for the senior citizens in Logan County. I said, look here, I'll get my snow boots on, and if I got to walk in the snow tomorrow, them folks are having their supper. You know why? Because, see, God cares about them. And so God is looking to be good to his kids. God is not mad at anybody in this room. If you're watching me live right now, I want to look you right in the face. I hope that you've got a good blanket, and I hope that you're happy. And God's not mad at you. And so let's read on. We're in Exodus chapter 34. And it says that the Lord came down and he stood by Moses and he began to speak about himself. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Look here, if you've had wickedness in your life, God's forgiving that. If you've had rebellion in your life, God is forgiving that too. If you're real enough up in here to admit that you've sinned and fallen short, and by the way, we all have. If you're real enough to admit that, know that you got a real God, and he's not stuck in a la-la land. He forgives the sin too. God has goodness for his kids. He does. And it's not according to... You know, if my kids, if they're bad, I'm not going to starve them out, as you can tell with one of them. He's not starving. Crystal, I'm not going to neglect them when they do something I don't like. I'm still going to be their parent. Am I giving you a free pass in here? Absolutely not. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to undo any wrong thinking in here about Daddy God. Because he's got nothing but good for you. You have to make decisions that line up with the Word of God. See, the Word says that you're blessed. The Word says that you have all that you need. The Word says that you're healed. If you don't get in this Bible and read and see what God has for you, my people, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What a terrible thing to go down for, just not knowing. If somebody writes you $1 million check and you never cash it, that's on you. My Coco, he says, that's on you, boo-boo. That's on you. Cash this. Take it for all that it's worth. It's the only thing on this world that's not going to lie to you and disappoint you. Amen. When your pastor gets up here and says, God's looking to be good to you, take it to the bank. You know what God wants to happen? He wants people to fall so in love with him that they never go back. Amen. They never go back. God has nothing but good for you. Psalms 23. This was Papa McElhaney, one of his favorite places. And I miss him dearly. And he's probably just as happy as he could be. I was called a few weeks ago to go and sit at the bedside of a lady in the nursing home and pray with her in some of the last parts of her life. And I've had my moments with this calling. I've had my moments where I wanted to run. I've had my moments where I wanted to quit. I've had my moments where I wanted to throw in the towel. I've had my moments where I've thrown my hands up and said, what now, God? I've had my moments when people that were supposed to be with me, they left. But let me tell you something, Mama Brenda, God never left. See, we're going to be real today, because if I get up here and sugarcoat everything, you won't know what's up. There ain't hardly a day goes by I ain't prayed for you. God loves you. And this pastor here loves you. I'm glad to see you home, even if your mask is all blinged out. I'm going to get you a more masculine mask, brother. I want that one. But God loves you, guys. He loves you so much. And I took this little lady by the hand and I said, what do you want God to do for you? I've learned something over the past couple of years. You could pray all day long for somebody, but you know what you need to figure out? What do they want God to do? People say, well, Pastor Kelly, of course she wants to live. Well, you know what? You don't know till you ask. I said, what do you want God to do? And I just began to read this. See, what needs to happen is that heart of stone needs to get to be where it's a heart of flesh, and you need to know just how special that you really are. If you could see yourself the way that God sees you, you would change forever, because you'd realize just how important that you were. So Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Look here, God doesn't have a life of drama for you. Now, you may like drama, but you need to shake that off, because drama hurts you. Tear you up. When God says, I want to lead you beside quiet waters is that part of your life where it's gotten sweet, see, and you've just yielded to the will of God that says, you know what, I want to take you by some quiet waters. The green pastures. What are green pastures? More than enough. More than enough. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See? If you're not being led by God, you're being led by something else. Either yourself or the devil or both. But make no mistake, something's leading you. Where are you going? Where are you going? A lot of people think, I got time. My mama had time. She messed up. I can mess up till I'm 43. No, look here. You ain't your mama. You. Be the best you can be. That starts with knowing who God really is, and God is good. And it says, I will fear, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I took that little lady by the hand and I said, look here, even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to tell you not to live your life in fear. However much of your life that you have left, stop living in fear. Fear will kill you. Fear will steal from you. If the devil can get you walking in fear, the devil's going to get you in every other little thing. You make your worst decisions out of fear. Out of fear. When God saved you, he didn't make you a little girl. He made you somebody that could stand up and say, you know what, but my God. But my God. See, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. It doesn't matter what anybody says. God's the one that's leading me and I'm following him. See, my sheep, they hear my voice and a stranger they won't follow. When's the last time you just stopped in your life and just said, God, where are we going? God, where are we going? Where are you wanting to take me? Because God, I've been bucking you, but I'm going to stop bucking you and I'm going to go with it. Where you want to take me, God? I'm willing. I'm willing. See, God's not going to make you do something. He's not going to force you up into that. You have a choice. That's why the Word of God says, now you choose you this day. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? Because, see, you got a choice to make. You got a choice to make. When you're living on the fence, that is your choice. A lot of people say, I'm going to live on the fence, so I don't got to make these hard decisions. No, that is your choice. You can't live your life on the fence. You're either hot or you're cold, but it's the lukewarm that can't be tolerated. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's been times in my life where I've said, God, I'm ready to sit at that table. Lord, I got some enemies. I even got some frenemies I'm wanting you to take care of. And then I get there at that table, and something happens to me, and it happens every time. I ain't near as mean as I thought. Because I get there sitting at that table, and my enemy's suffering, and there's something that takes place. And I say, God, if they're suffering because of something they've done to me, God, I'm asking you to not let them suffer one more moment. If you've got enemies in here, I'm asking you to love them. I'm asking you to pray for them. I'm asking you to forgive them. Because they're not on the hook, you are. We are. When we won't forgive, we're on the hook. And we're not free. And so it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Walked up in here and God said, Kelly, stop looking at who didn't come. Stop looking at what you don't have. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. And know this. I'm working on all the other stuff. See, the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then, all of these things. See, there's things that we hung up over. And we live our lives and we say, when this gets straightened out, I can be happy. Look here, don't live your life like that. Choose to be happy despite everything that's going wrong. Because look here, Daddy God, he's taking care of what ain't right. So we can't postpone joy and wholeness because things aren't going exactly the way we want them to go. God will make them turn out for your good and his glory. He does every time. He will not be late in your life. And so surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When everything looks like it's going wrong, remember, God's got his goodness. It's coming out. It all come out in the wash. I had a teacher that used to say that, and I used to think, what are they talking about? I don't even wash clothes. When I got married, I was like, where's my drawers? Something happened. 23 years, that's the first time I come up with no undergarments. Called my mama. She goes, I washed those for you. Had no idea. Look here. You can see my house right now. Sometimes I think, I just show people so they feel better about themselves. Because at all times in the kitchen house, there's a mountain of clothes. And not to make excuses for myself, but I'm going to build God's house first. I'm going to build his house first. If something's going to be messy and sloppy, it'll be my own house. I got 3 bathrooms in this church, and I got 3 bathrooms in my house. Guess which ones are clean? God's house. See, if you'd fashion your life, and lots of you have, fashion your life where you're building God's house first. And I'm not talking about the walls of the building. What is God's house? Souls. 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 When everything says give up, I'm going to ask you to give it one more day. Give it one more day. When you feel like you can't anymore, step back and say, God, I can't right now, but I know that you can, so I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step back, and I'm just going to let you have your way. That's what's needed, because what you have is a good God, and he's looking to be good to you. He's looking for it. There's times when I know my little children have been terrible, Brother John. Bad. Bad little boys. Angel, and I lay asleep at night, and I'm saying, God, how can I be good to those babies you gave me? I know they don't deserve it. I know they're the worst ones in the church. But God, what can I do for them? See, while you're sleeping, God's sitting there and he's saying, what am I going to do for Crystal? Here's what I'm going to do. See, you have a God that's looking. He's looking to be good to you. When I go minister at the jail, it's like it's the coolest experience ever, because here's what happens. You be sitting up in there and I'll be ministering. And it's like a wave. Go up in that place. And you can just feel the Holy Spirit begin to rest. Yes. See, God's looking. He's looking to be good to you. Looking for it. So I'm going to ask you, whatever's troubling you, whatever in your life isn't going right, whatever looks like won't work out, I'm going to ask you to make a leap of faith and take that thing and give it to him. To see what he's got is goodness for that situation, mercy, grace. Psalm 31. Verse 19. And I love the Psalms because I love David. David could just keep it real. He would say one moment, Lord, it's all terrible. It's all going down. I'm in trouble. Then the next minute he's like, oh, I triumphed over my enemies. Everything's great. Life is wonderful. Then the next chapter, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Why is this happening? He was real. He was real. And he could keep it real. He could keep it real. See, here's a little issue. It's the little foxes that just absolutely spoil the vine. It's the little things. We say, I'm doing good in everything but this, and I'm going to keep this, and I'm going to keep doing that. Look here. That'll be the one thing that eats your lunch. I'm lying, I'm dying. How do I know it? Because I've lived it. I went for 3 years thinking I didn't have to forgive. Look here. There's something worse than dying. It's just thinking you're going to die. God knows. Every morning, Kelly, you got to forgive. Kelly, you got to forgive. No, God, I ain't going to. God, I don't care if it sends me to hell. I still ain't doing it. Look here. God's so patient. He'll give you time to work it out. Work that out. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. A lot of people, they've gotten on that plow. They've either looked back or let go. You can't afford neither one. You got to keep going. And so it says here, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. See, God's not just good. He has goodness stored up just for you. Jeremy and I were talking last night on the way to Fort Smith. And I said, you know what really has alarmed me the most about this pandemic? Out of all the things that really got people concerned, it was the toilet paper. I said, honey, now I think a little bit differently than almost everybody, but I said, am I wrong? Can you wipe your rear with other things besides toilet paper? Because I wasn't messed up about the toilet paper. I mean, and Jeremy goes, he didn't skip a beat. We was made for each other. Let me tell you what, if you'll hold out for what God has for you, God will give you somebody, and look here, you'll be happy. Now, I was about to wring his neck yesterday when we was doing these balloons. We won't get into that. But Jeremy didn't skip a beat. We were talking about the toilet paper, and he goes, well, that's why I got the bidet. And I was like, I ain't using that bidet. I don't trust that thing. If that toilet paper is out, look here. I'm very creative. We find something else. But I ain't going to be messed up over that toilet paper. God's got his goodness stored up. It's not one of them deals where somebody gets in line ahead of you and they get everything and there ain't nothing left for you. No, God's got it stored up specifically for you. Specifically for you. He really does. And so it says, how great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. Refuge, the very literal meaning of refuge means shelter. Shelter. We shelter ourselves in so many things, but the one thing that can actually do the job. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Once again, refuge. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste of it. You're not going to come up disappointed. You're not going to come up thinking any other thing but the fact that, how is he so good to me? Sometimes I look, and in the beginning, I looked at everything that wasn't going the way I wanted it to. And now I'm looking and I get in that Jeremy's recliner and I look back when I'm by myself and I just can't even help but weep. Because you know what? God, you did all of this. God, I cannot take credit for the thing that you've been doing up in Parish Christian Center. Because, God, you did things that I never could have even imagined. And so taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Those who fear him lack nothing. Learn how to develop that healthy fear of God. I used to think, oh, I can get away with that. Ain't nobody looking. Ain't nobody gets away with nothing. I was up in a grocery store 2 or 3 years ago, and I thought, some heifer smarted off to me. I'm going to be real with you for a minute. She smarted off, and she's about 5 times my size, and I thought, I'll take you. I'm in Russellville. We ain't up in Paris. God said, Kelly. First of all, good thing you didn't wear your pastor shirt. But second of all, you can't do that stuff no more. The cashier was going, don't do it. See, the devil caught me in a really bad moment where I was already sad. was crying going to the grocery store, and that mean old girl, she was being mean to me at the checkout line. I thought, I'm going to be mean to somebody back. Look here. Bless those who curse you. Hasn't always been my favorite thing to do. But I realize now more than ever it's the right thing to do. And it's hard. It's hard to do that. Because everything up in you is saying it's okay to get them. No. Just stand back. Say, God, I know that you're handling this. So, God, I'm not going to handle it. Because my ways ain't nothing like what you would do. Your ways are a lot higher, God. Last place for me this morning, Psalm 145 and verse 9. And I'm going to actually read verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. Y'all say all. He's good to all. And not only is he good to all, but he's looking to be good to you. If you're hurting in here today, if you're stressed in here today, if you're just blah today and you don't know which way you're going to go today, I wake up like that. I don't know if I'm going to be nice or terrible. Could go either way. Just depends. God's good to all. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not looking at this one over here and said they did a number 9, so I'm going to take this one over here because they just did a number 3. No. He just scoops us all up and he just says, I'm going to love on all of them. I'm going to be good to all of them. I love my kids. I'm going to be good to all of my children. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. And I know as simple as this message has sounded today, it was what God wanted me to share today. God's been good to you. And he's looking in every crack, every crevice, every square inch of your life, and he's looking for more opportunity to be good to you. What do we do with that? Turn around. Ask God, how can I bless you, God? God, what can I do for you? And then go and do that thing. Go and do it. Now, what I would like to do is give away some more things. And when y'all sitting at home tonight and you opening up your little heart candies, you know that your pastors love you so much. We wanted you to be able to be looking out the window at the snow and eating chocolate. So we're going to